Our Old Testament lesson this morning, it comes from Genesis, the first five verses from the opening book of the Bible. Be warned, I'm throwing in the very last verse of that first chapter also. That's not listed in the bulletin. Hey, I get to change my mind sometimes too, so listen for the word of our Lord. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. These are very familiar words, and if you happen to be here on Christmas Eve, they're probably more familiar because I was preaching from the same thing. I see someone laughing already. It's a marvelous, marvelous passage that says so much in such a little time and yet leaves so many more questions to be dealt with than we can ever imagine. Or at least it does for me. This business of God creating the heavens and the earth. Obviously, this is beyond our comprehensions. There wasn't a heavens and an earth, so where was God when it was happening? Good luck with that one. If you have insomnia tonight, think through that one. You'll be out in the light. I mean, it's good. This is a very great beginning to a wonderful, wonderful book, just the book of Genesis and then what goes on and the things that we learn. And I can't imagine the first person who put these words down. I can't imagine how God must have been moving in their heart and their mind. How does somebody come to the idea, the knowledge, that this is how it all came into beginning, the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of everything. Or was it the beginning of everything? Was there something else before? You can really rack your brain over that one. That too will help you get to sleep if you, you know, have some trouble there. Today we're going to focus on a couple of things. First is chaos. Chaos and what that means to us. And what is our response to a creating God who takes chaos and makes it good? You see, the reason I say this fits so well for this day is yesterday, if you were paying attention, not just to the basketball game, which was great, by the way. If you missed it, you should look at it. It was wonderful. Always good to beat W&L. Really good. Makes me really happy. But this day, the day after Epiphany, when this second Sunday of Christmas, and there's so many things that are tied up in this, and we as Presbyterians, by the way, we don't like things that have open things, multiple meanings. We like Christmas, it's about the baby, right? We like Easter, it's about the cross, the resurrection. We like nice, neat things. We like our whole Bible. We got the whole thing. We got it parsed out for the whole liturgical year. And this is the one that drives everyone crazy because you can be emphasizing Epiphany. You can still be emphasizing Emmanuel, God with us. There are many things that you can look at, and I started, as I was planning worship, so many months ago, I realized that it fits really well with chaos. Because on this Sunday, we're kind of caught betwixt and between. Betwixt a Christmas that was joyful and wonderful, an Advent season that kind of rolls on to us. And all of a sudden, we are reading passages about how Jesus is now known to the entire world. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. Thus the Epiphany that went out. I know you guys probably don't get waxed up about that, but it confuses me. And where am I supposed to go with this? And what's happening? And I felt chaotic, and that's why I ended up with this. I mean, the first part of it is just trying to figure out what the beginning of all this is. In the beginning, whose beginning? It wasn't God's, because God was there. There was a formless void, so it wasn't the beginning of the formless void. Although it's a void, so did it really expect? These are the things I think about. It's not fun to be in my brain. But God comes and creates. In the middle of chaos, God creates. We don't like chaos, especially Presbyterians, but Americans in general don't like chaos. We like things to happen the way they're supposed to happen. The sun comes up in the east, it sets in the west, or at least kind of, depending on where you are in the season of the year. We know those things. We want to know exact dates. We want to know exact times. Our planes, okay, they don't run on time, but, you know, usually. We want everything to go the way it's supposed to be. That is what we have been taught. Things are scheduled. You go through the first grade, the second, all the way to 12, and then you go on to college and blah, 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 blah. We have order. We got a calendar. Matter of fact, if you're like me, you have 5 or 6 in your home and several in your office. We got to make sure we're right on schedule. We know exactly what time of the year it is. Unfortunately, in the church's calendar today, we're kind of caught betwixt and between, and we're talking about chaos. And it could drive Presbyterians insane. The problem is, in case you haven't figured this out, any relationship runs on chaos. Because there's at least 2 people in a relationship. And when there's 2 people, there's a lot of chaos. A lot of miscommunication, which causes more chaos. A lot of, I want this, but they want that. How are we going to get that? Because we can't get there from here. The chaos in our brains while we're trying to figure out how we're going to get past this and get on with it. See, chaos is something for us, especially as Americans, something we want to fix. We want to fix it. We're going to systemize it. We're going to get this issue that is chaos going on out here. We're going to fix that. That's why we're really not real cool with traffic circles. We really don't like those. Europeans, they seem to get along. We buck. We don't like those. It's hard for us. It really is. But I would say to you this day, the basic difference, one of the basic differences between God and humanity is God looks at chaos and smiles and gets probably a warm fuzzy all over and says, fertile soil. I got them all torn up right now, right where I need them. They're in chaos. It is where God creates new things. You know, we often can say, and people say this all the time, they'll come sit in my office and tell me about a hard time that they've had in their life and giving me some history for what is going on, and then they will say, but you know, when I got to this point, I saw the joy in that chaos. Not usually using the word, we don't like the word. You know, that hard time, when I didn't know what was going to happen, when everything was up in the air, that's when I really, really needed God. God is using chaos a lot in our lives. At least if you haven't experienced it, get ready for it. It's how God shakes us out of the nice little world that we tried to paint for ourselves. This way that we try to take charge of our own lives and make sure that we go down this road just like that. Never getting close to the ditches, not even close to the yellow lines. We stay right there. Our way of trying to fix chaos is to never change. And in this time of year, it's hilarious how much we go through to not have anything any different than it has been for any other Christmas. And I am just as bad as anybody else. The scene of Mary and Joseph sitting on our shelf is exactly the same one that my parents had when I was a kid. And when I moved out of college here and had my own apartment and I was getting it for the first time, I went to a store and I saw it and I bought it immediately. And it's the only fight I've ever won with my wife. That's the one that gets on the mantelpiece. There's another one, but it goes to the other room over there. And it is the cheapest. That's why I bought it. It was the cheapest thing in the world, probably made in somewhere in Mexico 100 years ago. But it is exactly the same one that I grew up with. Got to have that one. Got to have certain food on Christmas too, you know. Each of us could probably sit down and talk and we'd always go, what? Why do you eat that on Christmas? No, what you got to eat is this. We cling to stasis to keep everything the way that it's supposed to be, at least in our hearts and minds. And that's one of the problems we have in growing closer to God. Bless you. Because God works in chaos. Humanity tries to fix chaos. And God says, no, that's where you need to be, because that's when you are following me. You follow me exactly in chaos because you have left. I have put you in a place where nothing, you cannot handle it. You don't know what's going on. Then I can work with you. Then you can be mine. You see, that's what we're supposed to be doing with the world God created. God created and took the chaos and made it into a wonderful, wonderful thing and said it was good. We took the world and changed it into what we want. And there's where the problem begins with us as individuals, as people. God takes chaos, or what we would call chaos anyway, and enacts a perfect plan. A perfect plan for all that are in that place. But humanity, not being able to stand the chaos of not knowing everything that's going to happen, not trusting God enough to live with that insecurity, we wrench it away from God. We build walls between us and God. Because that chaos scares us. We don't understand it. We don't like that. We would much rather go by the old adage that this is the way it's always been done, so we're going to keep doing it that way. But so many years ago, thousands of years ago, God showed up in the form of a small child. And it was announced to the shepherds, to people who were not even Jewish, the wise men. They all came. They believed. And they saw what God could do with chaos. Talk about a chaotic plan. Who would send a baby to save the world? God would. It was a perfect plan that worked perfectly. My hope for us this day is that we can be open to our creating God, that we can set aside our fears of change, of different things, changes inside of us, changes around us, that we can still celebrate that God is constantly making things new and we are a part of that being made new. I hope that we can stand in that chaotic place and trust God. And trust God that all the things that used to be and aren't right now that make us feel insecure, we can still be secure in God, our Savior. We can still celebrate the past, the achievements that have been made, happened, the things that happened as God came to earth and lived among the people, the joyful things that have happened here in the past. We can celebrate that, but not so much that we miss the things that God is doing now. The wonderful, wonderful things. How many people missed Jesus when he walked on this earth? Because they were not ready for a new thing. I pray to God that we will begin to see that the new things that make us feel chaotic are here to help us see God more clearly. This table that we will come to celebrate the sacrament screams to us what we see as chaos is God's love poured out for us. I give thanks to God that while it's chaos, we are always safe and saved. Amen.